This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hello. It's always good when what I've prepared is confirmed on the day. Because I always worry beforehand, you know, I write this stuff and I don't know, is this just me? And then what usually happens is what happened today, and because this is all about the kingdom. Before I start, I'd just like to pray and ask God for wisdom and guidance for you and for me to speak wisely and for all you to hear wisely with Holy Spirit discernment. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you would take my tongue and this content that I've prepared, Lord, and that you'd bless it. That it might be an encouragement to the members of your body here in the church. Lord, I ask that you give each one of us who are listening here today wisdom to discern for themselves whether I speak rightly or wrongly. Lord, please guide us in all our understanding. Amen. So, I've got some words here that you might be familiar with. They say, "Come gather round people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If the time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are a-changing." Even though in this song, Bob Dylan was singing about the rise of individualism in the 60s, and his intent was to encourage young people to break away from the perceived oppression of their parents and their traditional Christian values, he was right about one thing, and that's that the times are changing. People are worried. Christians are getting worried too. I'm seeing that around me, and it's becoming increasingly obvious to everyone, whether you're Christian or whether you're secular, that the world is in a bit of a crisis. This morning in our pre-service prayer time, Karen proclaimed victory that is ours in Christ, that he has done it, and that we should not be fearful of what we see in the world around us, but look to him. So today I just want to take that fear that I'm seeing in people around me personally, fear about the future and the things that are coming on the church, oppression, and just bind that up and cast that all at the foot of the cross, where Jesus said that it is finished. So, for the last few hundred years, and certainly since the end of the Second World War, mankind has been rapidly walking away from God in a wave of humanism and pursuit of a world governed not by God, but by man and man's own ingenuity. World systems of government and financial control have been established above and beyond that of traditional nations. And the cult of science has been erected to replace God and rationalize our existence without needing a creator. As always, when mankind removes God from his rightful place, Satan slips in to fill the gap. And he's done that in the West in a pretty subtle manner, convincing the world that he doesn't exist at all the while controlling people who have rejected God and guiding our society away from God's morals and his right judgments. So that leaves us in a pretty rough situation today. The church in a weakened position. Christians are the butt of jokes at the best of times and far worse in many places around the world. It would almost be funny if it wasn't so tragic how the very people who can see plainly the cause and effect of humanity rejecting God, leading to this sorry state we're in, are the ones who are being ridiculed from every quarter, with atheism leading the charge. But then again, that's always been the way of things. When as nations we turn away from God, as nations we begin to fall. And the evidence for that is all around us. In the last decade, the world's financial systems were brought to a halt with the global financial crisis, a crisis brought about by the unfettered greed of the financial sector. Good governance had given way to man's desire for wealth, and we saw that man's system of the world government was flawed and controlled by a few at the expense of many. Islamic control in the Middle East and indeed even in the West, it's been spiralling out of control. Our wars of conquest and greed for oil in the Middle East, thinly veiled as peace missions, have given rise to radical Islamist groups, with the latest being ISIS, who've swept across the ancient homeland of Christianity, killing many thousands of Christians and rendering many of those nations entirely Christless in their wake. Wave upon wave of Islamic refugees pouring into Europe at the moment, refugees noticeably absent, however, of women and children, and a well-documented regime of outbreeding the infidels in every country they arrive in, Islamic extremists have made large inroads into many countries as required to fulfil ancient end times prophecy of them surrounding Jerusalem. Curiously, whilst attacking Christianity is irrational, in the light of scientific understanding, the West welcomes Islam with open arms under the guise of multiculturalism and acceptance of all religions. On top of that, attacks targeting Christians in the West are on the rise. In America especially, shootings are more often than not targeting Christians. Recent shooters singling out Christians in churches and Christian students in schools. This year alone saw a young man invade a prayer meeting at a black church in the US. This was labelled as a racially motivated hate crime. So I ask you then, if this man was racially motivated, why didn't he go in on Sunday when the church was full of people? No, he attacked the prayer meeting with only a handful of people, the spiritual heart of the church. This wasn't racially motivated, it was satanically motivated to do the most damage to the church. There are many other incidents like that around the world at the moment, growing in frequency. And you can easily find them if you go and have a look at Christian news websites. And I'm not going to talk about them in detail because we've got a lot of young people in the church today with us, with Kids Church being out. But even in our own country, just earlier this week, on Monday actually, in Queensland, there was a Christian preaching on the street and he was arrested for the gospel. I think I'll read out the report because it gives you a bit of an idea about what you can expect to see in the future. I might just grab some water first. I hope that was for me. So it says, George, a Queensland street preacher with Operation 513 Group, was arrested on Friday night despite being authorised... So this was last Friday. Was arrested on Friday night despite being authorised to assemble and preach peacefully in Surfers Paradise, Calville Mall, under the state's Peaceful Assembly Act. Operation 513 had preached at Calville Mall on several previous occasions without any complaints. At about 10:30 p.m., a police sergeant approached George and told him to move on after he'd mentioned some sins listed in the Bible from 1 Corinthians 6, such as adultery, slander, theft, greed, swindling and homosexual conduct. George and the group's organiser, Ryan Helmler, asked for clarification from the officer. The female sergeant said, "You've talked about homosexuality. You've offended people and people of the public. You're talking about other religions, saying that they aren't right. They aren't God's way. Now, we've got members of the public here who are from other religions. Your words to these different people are causing anxiety. A member of the public has tried to have a go at you, and this man here, George, is antagonising him by quoting from the Bible in opposition to what he's trying to say." Ryan Hemler tried in vain to explain that the group had official authorisation so that under Section 45 of the Police Powers and Responsibility Act, police could not lawfully give a move-on order. An acting senior police sergeant and inspector then arrived, told George to move on immediately or be arrested. George refused and was arrested. He's going to appear later in this month in front of the court. So the message of Jesus, the good news of salvation for all sinners, is under attack in our own country. And it seems likely that it will become illegal to preach the gospel in our streets in the future. The gospel of Jesus is being positioned as hateful propaganda in Australia right now. Most Christians I speak to feel that we're approaching or we're in end times right now. The evidence of these things is all around us. The events of Revelation seem to be coming to pass, that these are the birth pangs spoken of in prophecy. If you're here a month or so back, Adam was preaching on Revelation, and the times we're in if you're familiar with that, if you were here for that, you'll be familiar with that concept. But it's scary how quickly these things are progressing in this regard. Like true birth pains, these events, these signs of the end times are increasing in frequency. They're coming closer and closer together, and we, the church, seem to be in a bit of a panic, unsure what to do. Perhaps not outright run around screaming panic, because we know our God and we trust him, but the church as a whole, not just Mombok Christian Fellowship, seems we don't really have a consolidated response to the things that are going on in our country, other than perhaps to wriggle a bit further under our rock and say, well, Jesus has warned us about these things, so we better just bunker down and wait for it to all blow over, because we know that Christ is going to be victorious in the end. And to a degree, that's true. Christ is going to be victorious in the end. But does that mean that it's time for the church to be in hiding from the world? Just to keep our heads low while the whole thing blows over? I don't think so. So King Solomon, the wisest person ever to live, says this in Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, and a time, and time to every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So there are times and there are seasons for every purpose under heaven. And we're now, right now, in a time and a season we possibly weren't really ready for. Something is happening in our day. Every Christian you speak to is saying that something big is on the horizon. We're not quite sure what. You go out to a prayer meeting, people say they're getting this impression from the Holy Spirit that we're being prepared for something. So there's a change in seasons on the wind, and everyone who's tuned into the Holy Spirit seems to be aware of it. We can feel it with our God-given senses. We're right in the midst of a change of season, and we, the church, the body of Christ, need to wisely discern the times we're entering so that we'll know what to do. That is, we need to know the season we're entering so that we do the right things. We shouldn't prepare for war in a season of peace. We shouldn't tear down when it's a time to build up. We shouldn't get our mittens out when summer's about to come around the corner. So we need to look to God through his Holy Scripture and through prayer and his Holy Spirit to know what we should be getting ready for. For what it is that we need to be doing. In Adam's two-part sermon on end times and Revelation a month ago, Adam laid out the case that we're at the end of the church age. A time is here when God is going to shake the world in the church. It's the time after which God's kingdom comes on heaven. Oh, sorry, it comes on earth as it is in heaven. That thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, which is pretty cool news, actually. But we hedge our bets a little bit. Maybe it is time, maybe it isn't time. I think we all know this already. We all know it, and maybe someone needs to say it, so I'm going to say it. The answer is yes, we are in that time. let's just get it out there. We're in that time now, the end of the church age. Let's not pontificate any longer on the question of whether we are or whether we aren't, because that time seems to be right now. God has been shaking us awake and telling us that the time is now and to be prepared. So do we think he's shaking us awake and telling us to be prepared, prepared to hide under a rock and watch the world fall apart while he brings in his own kingdom? What I want to tell you today is that we're being shaken awake and told to prepare because the time has come for the church to activate, to fulfill her great commission to bring about the kingdom of heaven. God is telling us that if we just listen to his Holy Spirit, that he's waking us up for action. Earlier this year, I was shaken awake by the Holy Spirit, and I don't mean figuratively, I mean literally, at 3 a.m. I was woken up out of my sleep, and there was a voice in my head saying clearly, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." And so I tried to go back to sleep. But there it was on repeat. "Thus says the Lord of hosts." And I couldn't get to sleep. And it kept going round and round in my head until, dopey me, I realized maybe God was trying to tell me something. So I said, "Here I am, Lord." And I got up and I found a bit of paper and a pen. And I just started to write. I wrote those words. And then just this whole message came out in about 5 minutes. There was no me going back and correcting it, like if I was writing this sermon and I, you know, spent ages going over it and making sure that I've said the right thing. No, this all just came out on a bit of paper, and then I went back to sleep. Now, I know that I've shared this with the church before, a bit earlier in the year, but I believe it's important, so I'll read it out again. This is the word the Lord gave me just earlier this year. It says, the Lord of hosts, "I am preparing you in these days for what I am about to do. For a time is coming, and indeed has come, when I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. Every brother amongst you shall prophesy, and sister interpret tongues and dream dreams. The days of man on the earth are few, and soon my kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Be prepared as virgins who carried enough oil to see the coming of the bridegroom. Give the oil that brings life, which is my Holy Spirit, and walking in my commandments and my ways to all. Lift up and encourage the little ones, the lost ones, in this time of strife, knowing that the dawn is near and it must get darker before it becomes light. Soon the devil and all those who oppose us will be bound and cast into the pit. Take courage and know that the Lord your God cares for you as a hen cares for her chicks. I will gather you to my wings and keep you safe. I will wipe away every tear and you will know me face to face. Do not be afraid, I am with you, says the Lord." So now if you know me, or if you don't know me, then please hear what I have to say. I didn't make that up. I'm pretty dim, but I'm not stupid enough to claim that I've heard from God if it was just me making some stuff up. I'm pretty sure that making up words and attributing to God is a pretty suicidal thing to do. So I've been going over this fairly frequently for the last month or so. Firstly, just getting over my inner doubts. You know, there's little voices that say, "Oh, it's just you." But also just trying to understand what God was trying to tell me. So I wanted to break that down a bit and just see, let's test it and see if it gels with what we're seeing in the world today and what we're reading about in our Bibles and the season that we're in. So first he says he's preparing us for what he's about to do. Are we being prepared? I look at my life and I feel like God has been shaping me, and more so in recent years. He's blessed me with the gift of tongues in the last 12 months, that I might pray to him in the Spirit. He's had Lee and I ministering to friends and families in their times of distress, and has been pushing us to deeper fellowship with his saints, it's all of you, and deeper commitment to the kingdom works. So from my personal view, yes, he's been preparing us to do something. I don't know whether anyone else is feeling like they're being prepared at the moment for something, but that's how I feel. And then he says, "For a time is coming, and indeed has come, when I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. Every brother amongst you shall prophesy, and sister interpret tongues and dream dreams." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing that all around us today. And if you're not experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then I'll let you know something. God isn't a bully. He's not going to force that on you. But if you seek him for it, he's prepared to pour that out on you right now, because that's what this time's all about. The disciples were instructed not to leave Jerusalem until they had received the Holy Spirit in power. That implies that they could have missed out if they had have walked off. So don't miss out on this time of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the church. Next he told me, the days of man on this earth are few, and soon my kingdom will come on the earth as it is in heaven. And isn't that exactly what we're worried about right now? We're worried because the days of man are few and his righteous kingdom is coming on the earth, and we're in a bit of a flap because the master's returning. Jesus came to bring God's kingdom on earth. If his plan had been carried out as God willed it, then Jesus Christ would have brought about the kingdom of God 2,000 years ago. But his plan was frustrated by sinful man, and Jesus was crucified in the middle of that last week of years that Adam spoke about in his sermon. Now, if you're confused about how I can say that God's plan was frustrated, knowing in advance that we would sin, all of God's ways are good, and sin has no power over them, only the ability to postpone God's plans for a while. If this were the case, God would have never created us in the first place, knowing that we were going to sin. So Jesus would have done it right there in that final week, except that we crucified him and rejected him. And so there's this break in time, which Adam spoke about recently, of which God foreknew and prepared the disciples for in advance. And Peter, the rock on which Jesus would build his church, was prepared, and Jesus established the church to carry out the work of kingdom building and carry the knowledge of God for the time during which the Hebrews would be blinded to the truth of Jesus. And that's lasted the last 2,000 years. So the church is not an end in itself, but it's a means. Although over the centuries we've come to think of the church as an end and not as a means, because he gave us a great commission. He gave us a job to do, a purpose. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he gave us his Holy Spirit to guide us. And he left us with this prayer to teach our children. "Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We've prayed for the kingdom to come for 2 millennia now. And now it's finally here. It's on its way. Yet in the time since that commissioning of the church, we've perhaps forgotten that it was us who were commissioned with the very task of bringing about that kingdom. We're to overcome by the word of our testimonies. What I've realized is that if the church is meant to bring about the kingdom of God, and we are the church, then this spirit of fear of these end times that we're entering right now needs to stop, and we need to engage in the task we were designed to accomplish. What I'm trying to say is this: we're not supposed to be passive bystanders in these last days. We are the catalyst of these end times. God isn't telling us to prepare to hide. He's telling us to prepare to work. We're the great secret weapon of the age. We've been prepared, and we're expected now to act as God intended us to do. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So be encouraged, church. God is with us. And now as the world of man falls to pieces around us, even though we're going to be oppressed and cursed and killed for our faith, this is the season where the church is to stand forth as a beacon of light as darkness covers the earth. We're set up as a lamp in the darkness that is unfolding in the world around us. As all of the things that humanity depends on are shaken and stripped away, we're here to show the way of salvation to all. So how blessed are we to live in these days? You might have read about Finney and Wesley and others in church history and the great revivals they had. They had those revivals out of season, which is pretty miraculous. And we wonder now if anything like that should happen again. But now is the season for revival. Now is come the God-appointed time for the earth to be shaken and man to curse God and all the trumpets and bowls of wrath and all of those other things and the great harvest, greatest harvest the church has ever seen. So what do we do? Returning to the message God gave me earlier in this year, next he says, "Be prepared. Thus, virgins who carried enough oil to see the coming of the bridegroom. Give the oil that brings life, which is my Holy Spirit, and walking in my commandments and my ways to all. Lift up and encourage the little ones, the lost ones, in this time of strife, knowing that the dawn is near and it must get darker before it becomes light. Be prepared," he said. He reminds us of the virgins with their lamps. Remember that half of them fell away in the night. They didn't bring enough oil to see them through the darkness that preceded the bridegroom's arrival. So we're instructed to carry enough oil to last us through this time that's upon us. And immediately after that, he tells us what that oil is. He says it's the Holy Spirit and walking in his commandments and his ways. But then he tells us to give that oil to others as well, to the lost ones in this time of strife, knowing that the dawn is near, but it must get darker before it becomes light. Wow, we'd better not be resting on our laurels. We've got some real work to do. I think on how often I feel devoid of the Holy Spirit. I feel like an undeserving wretch with so little good in me that I can hardly bring myself to kneel before God and beg his forgiveness. And yet he expects me to load up on enough of this Holy Spirit that I'll not only be feeding my own lamp through the dark times, but sharing that oil with everyone else around me. I'm such a human, a small-minded human who thinks that he must do all of this in his own strength. Do I really think that there's a limit to the supply of the Holy Spirit available? That God has some sort of limit? The problem's in me and my wrong thinking. There is no limit to the oil available, only the limit of my own capacity. And that is only because I don't feel worthy to be a vessel of God's grace. We have to overcome this inferiority complex the world has put on the church and realize that Jesus had finished it, that we are redeemed, even if sometimes we don't feel like we are. You all have the capacity to be so filled with the Holy Spirit oil that you runneth over. And we need to be that way. We need to be encouraging each other to be filled for the work ahead. Next he said, soon the devil and all those who oppose us will be bound and cast into the pit. So God's righteous judgment will end the oppression of the world on the church, at which time our work seemingly will be over. And when? Soon, he says, soon. How little time do we have to share the gospel and for God to save all of those people we love who are currently going to hell? That's the part we should actually be concerned about. Not our own lives, that these things are coming on the earth, these things which are righteous judgments of God, but that our time is running short to share the good news with all of the people we love. Finally, the message I received finishes with this. Take courage and know that the Lord your God cares for you as a hen cares for her chicks. I will gather you to my wings and keep you safe. I will wipe away every tear and you will know me face to face. Do not be afraid, I am with you, says the Lord. Our God is so good. He knows that these times are scary for us. He knows that things are going to be hard, and he encourages us and tells us that he's got our back. This benediction that Jesus had wished he could have proclaimed over Jerusalem, he proclaims to us, that he will gather us to his wings as a hen cares for her chicks. He will keep us safe. We're not to be afraid because he is with us. So now what? My message today was deliberately short. I didn't want to waffle on just to fill up my allotted time. I'd rather us go out and spend that time we have together to discuss some of these issues over a cuppa. So let's not go out and talk about the weather or what our Christmas plans are. Let's talk about the time that we're in and what we need to be doing next. So I ask you to judge my words by the Holy Spirit and by Scripture. Seek God about these things, please, and don't just take my word for it. I think, as he said when he told me, I've been preparing you, that the time has arrived already to have been prepared. If you're still sitting on the fence, unsure about whether it's really time, wondering if the master of the house is really returning, or if we've still got a little while yet, you're cutting it awfully fine. We're called to set ourselves apart from the world, to live for the kingdom of God. Be bold, step out for God. Encourage one another in Christ, and build each other up. Ask God for his gifts, because he's pouring them out as we speak. The kingdom of God is justice and peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as we heard from Conyers just before. As this world of man falls apart, remember that you're not of this world. Your kingdom is arriving, and you are its heralds. The time has come to fulfill your purpose, church. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.